that move came to Ohio. I said, God, stir it up again. Amen. Come on, lift your hands up with me. Come on, let's pray. Father, stir it up again. Come on, stir it up, Lord, in Cleveland. Stir it up in northeastern Ohio. God, let the Holy Spirit move mightily in this region, Father. Thank you, God. If you've done it once, you'll do it again, God. Thank you that you are raising up a generation that is hungry and passionate for you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited about the word this morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you. And I'm just so excited. I hope you'll invite me back. I feel like a guest speaker, you know. But Song of Solomon is where I want you to go. I hope that you'll follow along. I have the Passion Translation, which is going to be a little bit different. It's kind of out of the Aramaic and the Hebrew in a different context. But it's going to give you more understanding and light on it. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16 is where we're going to go. It says, then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Blow on my life, God, until I am fully yours. This is the cry of the handmaiden. This is the cry of the bride. Breathe upon me with your spirit winds and stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruit-filled garden, holding nothing back until I release your fragrance. I want you just to think about that for a minute. Until we release your fragrance. Come walk with me as you walk with Adam in your paradise garden. Come walk with me, God, as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. This is so awesome. This is so powerful. And really, we're seeing something here in this particular chapter that is a revealing in this end time about the maturing bride. And I just want to say, you're looking so mature lately. You are just growing up overnight. We're all growing up overnight. And I'm telling you something, your bridegroom is so attracted to you. He can't hardly wait to embrace you and to pull you into his chambers. Glory be to God. Amen. Look at the last part of that verse, and I want you to read it with me. Starts with the word C-O-M-E. Are you ready? Come on, let's try it. Come fast the very fruits of your life in me. What he's saying is, I want you to come and taste the very fruit of your life in me. I've titled this message simply, His Private Paradise. His private paradise. That's what you are. That's what I am. And we're inviting him to come and partake of the very fruits of his life that are blossoming in our life. Get that now. The fruits of his life are blossoming in our life. I want to share with you today 9 characteristics that I believe mark a maturing Christian. These 9 characteristics mark a maturing bride. And I believe in northeastern Ohio, these characteristics are beginning to emerge. These characteristics are beginning to be identified more clearly than they've ever been before. And I am so excited. Remember last time I spoke a couple of weeks ago, Luke 13, the owner of the orchard came. He wanted to partake of the fruit of the fig tree, and there was no fruit to be found. Do you remember that? And he said, cut it down. Cut it down. And what did the gardener say? Gardener said, no, don't cut it down. Can I dig it again? Can I dig it again? One more year? And then let's see if I cultivate it, if I tend it, if I keep it, if I work with it. I believe there could be blossoms on this tree. And the owner of the orchard said, okay, I'll give you one more year. I felt prophetically the Holy Spirit really speaking to us and saying, God wants to dig again in our lives. God wants to dig again in our church. He wants us to bring us into a place of His fruitfulness so that He can come and visit us and partake of the very fruit that comes from His life. For we are the branches and He is the vine. Amen. So the owner of the orchard is coming and the Spirit says, you are my paradise garden. He's coming to you and He's coming to me to partake of the fruit of His planting. You know, our hearts are really an enclosed Eden. That's what we are. Our lives are an enclosed Eden with a gate that's been locked to the world. It's locked to the world. Say that with me. Locked to the world. Why? Remember December 2nd? God moved on us. And I challenged us for the next 30 days to disconnect from the things of the world and passionately pursue your walk with God, transforming your whole heart. And that's been 60 days. Today's February 2nd. I believe it's no mistake. And in those 60 days, we've seen these transformations begin to take place. I'm getting testimony after testimony of people who are saying, I'm getting visitations from God. I'm passionately pursuing Him. I'm seeing Him in a different light. I feel a fire burning up in my spirit. God has visited my life. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time to disconnect. Disconnect from news and TV and your favorite soap opera and all of those questionable activities and things that we used to readily engage in. But now we're locking the garden. Come on, say it. I'm going to lock my garden. I'm not giving the password out to you. I'm not giving the key to the world. I'm not letting anybody have access to this paradise garden because it is exclusively for Him. I've realized something. Thoughts have their way of making an entry into my life. And if those thoughts aren't His thoughts, then they cannot enter through the gate. You know, I saw something the other day. I saw flypaper. Now, if I were to hold flypaper out, what would I attract? Flies. Isn't that interesting? This is deep. If I hold up flypaper, I attract flies. But if I put out nectar in a bird feeder, hummingbird feeder, and I put nectar in it, guess what I attract? Hummingbirds. It's interesting. It's like our thoughts. It's like our relationship with God. What you put out, one's celestial, one's terrestrial. I realize that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I realize it's a choice. And you know what? I'm tired of putting flypaper out in my life. I'm not attracting flies anymore. No, I'm going to put nectar in my life. And my thoughts are going to be His thoughts. And my ways are going to be His ways. And what happens? I can see the reality of the hummingbird visiting my thought life. This paradise is for Him. You know, winters past, I saw 12. I counted them. 12 robins. Remember last Tuesday, the bitter cold that we had plummeted again? I had to walk outside and went a few blocks, and guess what I saw? 12 freezing and shimmering red robins. They were here already. And I said, God, winter's past. Even though I'm still freezing, even though I'm still in the midst of the winter, it is already past because You've already given me a promise of that which is changing. It is coming. Spring is on its way. That's what the Song of Solomon is referring to. A seasonal change. A seasonal effort that God wants to give. It's a new season. Here's my prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray now for another wave of holy love to wash over the bride in northeastern Ohio. I pray, God, for another wave of passionate love to consume the hearts of those who call upon the name of the Lord in northeastern Ohio. Let us put our little trinkets down. Let us put our little toys down. Let us put our little religiosity down. And Father, run and embrace the presence of our living Christ. You know, it's interesting. God knows all about your stumbles. He knows all about your tumbles. And here's the beauty of it. Still, His thoughts are filled with love for each of us. He's still thinking love thoughts toward us, even when I've stumbled. I don't know about you, but I've been around some church people that make me feel really bad. They tell me how God is not pleased with me. They tell me that the reason why your car broke down is because God's punishing you, or because your baby got sick, because there's sin in your life. Listen, I rebuke that thought. I send those very statements and thoughts right into the bowels of hell from which they came. I want you to know that no matter if you stumble or you tumble, God still loves you with an undying and unchanging love. All right, I'm about to make a statement. God is not your probation officer. Some of you know what I mean by that because you've had one in the past. God will never become your probation officer. He's not looking to make sure that you keep everything in order, and if you mess up, back to the big house you go. No, he's not your probation officer. He's your lover. Come on, say with me. God is not my probationary officer. Come on. You are enjoyed by him even while you're having a hard time living with yourself. Let me say that one more time. Some of us are like, man, I can't believe I've done that. Oh, my goodness. I just feel like I'm having a hard time. I can't even look myself in the mirror. I'm just so embarrassed. And God's saying, you know what? I still love you even and enjoy you when you can't have a time with yourself of enjoying. What a king. You see, he sees your destiny, ladies and gentlemen, over you. And he describes you by your destiny, not by your present circumstance, not by your past. He doesn't describe you by what you haven't done. He describes you by what he sees. Psalm 139, he sees a purpose and a destiny in you. That's why we're positioning ourselves under the fig tree, and he's come to visit us with an open heaven. That's why today you and I have to create these characteristics, these marks of maturity that are attractive to him. Like the nectar it's going to bring a hummingbird. We're putting the flypaper away. God is coming. He's attracted to you. The Holy Spirit is visiting this region. Why? Because he smells the aroma. He smells the fragrance that's emitting off of your life. Why? Because there's our blossoms of his fruitfulness that are beginning to come forth in you and in me. And as we separate ourselves from this world, as we lock the gate to the paradise of his own private coming, we find that it is exclusive for him. And suddenly God visits us. You see, there's no region more special than another region. It's just that the people in that region lock the gate to the worldliness and the fleshly passions and pursuits and religious wranglings, and they've decided, you know what? Give me Jesus. Give me God. I just want God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And suddenly God can't resist you. And he comes and he visits his people. Thank you, Lord. You know, I realize it's not just the gifted ones who have stolen his heart. I used to think that, man, if I was just a better this or a better that, if I had more of this or more of that, man, look at some of those people. They have that anointing upon their life. Listen to me, don't believe the lie. It's not the gifted ones that just attract him. No, 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 it's the yielded ones. Everybody in this room can yield to God. And if you're ready to yield to God, he's going to come and visit your life. He's going to visit your marriage, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and those generationally after you. Oh, hallelujah. I like Psalm 133 about that priest's garment and that anointing. And that garment was passed on to the succeeding priests. That anointing of the previous priest was on the garment, which the garment went on to the next priest, which went on to the next priest. Oh, I'm putting an anointing on my great-grandchildren. When they get into this world, they're going to slip on that anointing and they're going to think, oh my God, thank God for Grandpappy. Woo! This is not just about me and my kids or even my grandkids. It's about my great-great-great-grandkids. I'm speaking life into them. And there's an anointing that they're going to be birthed into that's going to come upon them. Not just the gifted ones who have stolen his heart. Song of Solomon 4, verse 9. Listen to this. For you reach into my heart. That's Jesus speaking. You reach into my heart. I said, Lord, reach. I want to reach into your heart. He said, you reach into my heart. When with one flash of your eyes, one gaze, one glance, that's what it means. I'm undone by your love, my beloved one, my equal, my bride. You leave me breathless. That's what Jesus says about you. You leave me breathless. Oh God, I want to take your breath away. I'm overcome by merely a glance from your worshiping eyes. You've stolen my heart. Did you know you make his heart beat faster? Oh, when I get up in the morning, I'm usually awake prior to Tina. And I hear her routine. I hear the door open. I hear the shuffling of her slippers. I get her coffee ready. I got her water ready. I have her place to sit ready. I turn the warmer on for her coffee. I put the light on. I do whatever I have to do. All that's good, but I know what's coming. My heart starts to beat a little faster because when I got a kiss goodnight, I knew that I was going to get a kiss good morning. Hallelujah. And it starts making my heart beat a little faster. I start getting my cardio workout before I even go to the gym. Say, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. This morning, she got my motor running. Had three grandkids spending the night. They were sleeping on the floor. And I embraced and I kissed her, and my heart beat faster. That's what Jesus is saying in Song of Solomon 4 and verse 9. Your glance, your worship, you've reached into my heart. Oh my goodness, I'm melting before you. You're making my heart beat faster. You understand how wonderful this relationship is with you and your Savior? He's not your probation officer. I want to read with you now two verses, and I'm going to endeavor to share with you nine fruit in about 20 minutes. Are you ready? Okay. Verse 13, your inward life is now sprouting. Your inward life, it's now sprouting. He sees it, bringing forth fruit. What a beautiful paradise. That's what he says about you. You know that prayer time you've been having? You know that time that you've decided to turn the TV off and spend a little more time with him? Jesus is going, what a beautiful paradise. You're bringing forth fruit. Your inward life is now sprouting. It's unfolding within you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spices. When Jesus comes and he's near us, he goes, oh my gosh, I smell this aroma, this fragrance that's coming from you. I find many clusters of my exquisite fruit growing within your inner garden. Notice something, it's his fruit and it's growing in us. That's why he's so acquainted with it. That's why he knows the aroma, because it is his fruit. But now it's not in him, it's in you. And it's attracting him to you. This is an amazing phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. We become God's Garden of Eden on the earth. And just like the Father desired to walk with Adam, he desires to walk with you in this garden. And he's attracted by the scent, by the aroma, by the fragrance of what's blossoming in your life. Listen to this. Here are the nine. We talked about the nine fruits of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, but I want you to concentrate on these, church. These are the nine characteristics and traits of the Old Testament maturation of the body of Christ. It is how you can measure your growth with God. It's not how many scripture verses you know or how many Bible schools or institutes you've attended. It's not necessarily whether you can speak in tongues or not, or you can sing and get a crowd standing on their feet. Those aren't the maturation points. These are the maturation points. Are you ready? Pomegranates of passion. Henna from heaven. Spikenard so sweet. Saffron shining. Fragrant calamus from the cross. Sacred cinnamon. Branches of scented woods. Myrrh like trees from a tree. And number nine, an alloys. As eagles ascending. These are these nine. I could preach a sermon on each one, but I will give you a summary in the next few minutes. And I want you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit and ask him, Father, are these blossoming in my life? Am I yielding in my life in these areas to you? You see, he smells the aromas of the spices and he's attracted to you. Pomegranates of passion. Pomegranates speak of a symbol of pure and golden thoughts in the bride's hearts that are open to him. It's the fruit of a yielded life. Pomegranates speak the fruit of a yielded life. And I think, God, show me, Father. Holy Spirit, show me where in my life am I not yielded to you? Is there any area that I'm not yielded to you? Because I want the pomegranate to blossom. I want to be yielded in every area of my life. It's the fruit of a yielded life. Isaiah 51 and 3 says this, for the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. There's comfort coming to those of us who have gone through difficult times. There is a change coming to those of us who have lived in a wilderness, in a waste place. God said, I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to make your wilderness like an Eden. Why? Because you're yielding to God. There's a yielding coming. There's a yielding in the body of Christ. That's why there's a hunger. That's why there's a thirsting generally across the region. And it's growing. And more people are being added to it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, they're coming. They're coming. People are rising up and they're hungering after God. I heard a testimony this week that blew me away. A pastor friend of mine got a phone call from a pastor in southern Ohio. He's Amish. He's been having a move of God in his service and didn't know anything about it. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know why the Holy Ghost was moving the way it was. So he did some research and connected with another pastor that I know in the region. And he called him. He said, well, I need help. I don't know what to do with this. We're hungry for God, but we've never had this happen before. And God is doing it. God's doing it in Anglican churches. God's doing it in Catholic churches. Oh, glory to God. He's even doing it in Pentecostal charismatic churches. There's a rising up of a hunger and a yielded life to God. Henna. Henna means this, ransom price or to forgive. It also means red dye. Think about that. Isn't that cool? Henna. God says, I'm looking for red dye. I'm looking for ransom. I'm looking for forgiveness in your life. It obviously points to the blood of Jesus. I'm looking to see if the blood is enough in your life. I'm looking to see, have you been impacted by the cross? Now, this is what's powerful. Please study it later. I don't have time to get to it. Song of Solomon 1, verse 14. Write that down. Song of Solomon 1, verse 14. It is a reference by the handmaiden of how she identifies her lover. She says, he is like henna. Now, this is important. She said, he is like henna, red dye, like ransom. He is like forgiveness. Now in chapter 4, it is what attracts the bridegroom to the handmaiden. He sees what was in her. He sees what was in himself, henna, now in her. In other words, she is beginning to blossom the impact and the effect of the blood of Jesus Christ in her life. She's being yielded. She's walking in forgiveness. And he goes, oh my gosh, what was in me is now in her. And he is drawn to the fact that her life is now emitting his life. He recognizes his likeness sprouting forth in her. The fruit of mercy. The fruit of mercy. God, I bind judgmental attitudes in the local churches. I bind this more important than you attitude. I bind, oh God, this performance attitude in the name of Jesus. And I release henna. Henna, Father God, thank you. Mercy into the body of Christ today. The fruit of mercy is emerging in the maturing bride. Oh God, thank you. Spikenard. Spikenard's the next one. Do you think of spikenard in John chapter 12 and 3 when Mary came to Jesus? She opened up and poured out what? Spikenard on his feet. She anointed his feet with spikenard. Nard in the Hebrew means light. So Mary literally poured a worship of light out on the feet of Jesus. This is very important for you and me to get, very important for you and me to understand, because the believer needs to walk with him as one in perfect light, nothing hidden, no shadows. The days when people come into local churches with hidden agendas, the day when people come into local churches with manipulative mindsets that want to try and build a name for themselves, it's over. Why? Because there's spikenard that's beginning to blossom in the body of Christ, and there is no shadow, and there is no turning, and there is no darkness, because the body of Christ has seen a great light. Arise and shine. For your light has come. Come on, tap somebody and tell them the glory of the Lord has risen up on you. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let the blossom grow, Father. Let it grow, Lord, even as it did in Peter. Let it grow, Father. Hallelujah. Let it blossom and become mature fruit that even when there is a natural shadow, it is so full of the light of your presence that when that shadow crosses a sick person, it raises them up, because darkness cannot stay where there is a great light. Body of Christ, let me tell you something. You and I are in for some amazing days ahead. You and I are in for some kind of miraculous things that are going to happen. Why? Because we're emitting a fragrance of spikenard. Ooh, hallelujah. Is there darkness in your life? Is there darkness? Is there things hidden? Are there things concealed? God, let there be no thing hidden in my life. God, I want to be open before you. I want to be transparent before you. This is the time. Dig again, dig again, dig again, dig again. Stop hiding it. Stop hiding it. It's going to come out in the open anyway. This is the time when we come before him. See, when we come before him in openness and confession, he covers it. Glory! But oh, when it's found out, it's shouted from the housetops. Spikenard. Spikenard, so sweet. This is beautiful, because in chapter 1 and verse 12, the maiden smells this aroma at the king's table. And now the king himself's looking for the scent in her. It's interesting, isn't it, that in chapter 1 and verse 12, she recognizes him as being full of light. Now in chapter 4, he recognized her as having his light. And he's attracted to that. He's attracted to it. This is beautiful. See, it puts us all on the same playing field. Because you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to have it all together to attract him. You don't have to have degrees. Just have to have his light. Just have to have his pomegranate. Just have to have his spikenard. Come on, saffron. And all of a sudden he's attracted to you. And every one of us can get that through yieldedness to him. Oh, it can be a fabulous at 12 years old. Huh? Come on. Are you 12? Yeah, it could be fabulous at 12. It could be somebody at 6. Huh? Come on. It could be any of us. It could be me at 62. It could be anybody. It could be a 30-year-old. It could be somebody that just got divorced and living with two kids on by yourself. Or somebody that just got out of the big house. Or somebody that just got off drugs. Or somebody that's an alcoholic rehabilitation program. It matters not. All you need is his light. It doesn't matter what you know or what you don't know. You just got to have his light. All you got to do is get his pomegranate. All you got to do is get his fragrance beginning to emit in you. And he's attracted to you. I love that. It places us all on the same level. Saffron shining, crocus, it's the lover's perfume. It also means yellowish orange. That's what that means. It's the gold of his character now shining in her walk. The shining is in her faith. 1 Peter 1:7, it says the same golden faith of Jesus has now been given to her as the sweetest spice in your heart. This spice is simply obedience. It's simply obedience. See, I understand something in my pursuit of him. In these last 60 days, it's been accentuated. I see the celestial kind of being natural, earthly, and demonic. And I see the terrestrial. I see where I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I find myself, did I say it backwards? I did. Okay. I see terrestrial. I see natural, earthly, and demonic. And when my wife starts laughing, I know I've done something wrong. I don't know. Anyway, terrestrial, naturally, earthly, and demonic. Celestial, where I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Right? That I'm in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. That's where you are today. So I have a choice constantly in my life. I can either go ahead and hang out flypaper, or I can put out the hummingbird feeder. I'm going to attract the reality of what my thoughts are. And I realize that my thoughts are his thoughts. That my ways are his ways. I realize now that I'm going to think upon those things that are lovely and good, report, and pleasant and whole. I realize that Philippians 4:8 now is my lifestyle. It is what I have been redeemed toward. And I know now that I'm going to attract these things. See, I've got beautiful thoughts. Guess what? Beautiful people come to me. That's why you're here. You all are beautiful. And the reason why all the beautiful people in Northeastern Ohio are coming to this church, because that's what I think about. I think about beautiful people. So you're all hummingbirds. I put my fly paper away some time ago. I don't want to fly a church full of flies. I'm not going to go any further than that. Calamus from the cross. Number 5, calamus from the cross. The Hebrew word for the spice means purchased or redeemed. Purchased or redeemed. Calamus from the cross. As his chosen ones, we are to walk in righteousness and be upright in his grace. Isaiah 26 and 7 says, the way of the just is uprightness. You weigh the path of the just. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are walking in his righteousness. And we have been chosen by him. Sacred cinnamon. I love sacred cinnamon because it was used in the sacred anointing of the priests and the tabernacle. Sacred cinnamon was one of the 5 components of the holy anointing oil. And it talks about being set apart for divine service. When you and I begin to blossom sacred cinnamon, it is a mark and a characteristics of our sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Sanctification is a progressive work by God. It is being conformed to his image and leaving the old life and becoming more like Jesus on the earth. And this whole sacred cinnamon is a mark of divine service set apart for God. The tabernacle was anointed, set apart for the service of God. You and I have been anointed, set apart for the service of God. So therefore, when a terrestrial thought comes, natural, earthly, and demonic, I now have a choice because I know that I've been set apart for divine service. So therefore, that thought is earthly, natural, demonic. I will not receive it and allow it into my life because I realize that's nothing but flypaper. I have already made a commitment that I'm going to attract the hummingbird. Therefore, I will be celestial in my thinking. I will adopt God's viewpoint about this matter. I could have judged you. I could have made a comment about what you said or what you did. But I realize that when I do that, that's nothing but flypaper. I realize that when I do that, I'm going to attract flies. And if you don't want flies, shut the door. So I am going to choose to say nothing. And bless you. And go to the terrestrial. And think good thoughts about you. And call you blessed. And call you God's child. And thank God for you in my life. And thank God that he works all things together for good for those that love God. And I'm going to bless those who persecute me and despitefully use me for his name's sake. Because I want hummingbirds. You know, I've always struggled with this verse in the Bible. Be holy, for I am holy. I'm like, yeah, right. That's a big order, man. Be holy. I mean, I can be holy once in a while, but to be honest with you, a lot of times I'm not. I'm like, okay, why'd you put that in there? That's almost like just to remind me I'm not when you tell me to be. But in essence, none of us can attain holiness. He is holy. So therefore, if I close the gate to wrongful entry, if I close the gate to intruders, this is a private paradise garden, sorry, no entry. You don't get a key, you don't get a password, you can't slip over the gate. You can't jump over the wall. I've got guard dogs. They will get you. This is exclusivity just for Jesus. When I realize that, I understand something. He is holy. So when I permit him in, exclusive into my life, his holiness makes me holy. And I realize that when I do unholy things, it's because the gate was left open. So I have to shut the gate. I'm going to shut the gate. Isaiah 35 and 8 says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. I only have a few more to go. So bear with me, branches of scented woods. I love that one. And really what it's speaking of is frankincense. Can you say that word? Frankincense. One more time. Frankincense. What frankincense represents here and what Jesus is looking for is purity of devotion. Purity of devotion. So when he comes to his garden, he's looking for purity of devotion. He's looking for holiness. He's looking for light. He's looking for these aromas. Here's the interesting thing about it. You and I can't produce these. It's not in our nature to produce these. But that's why when I die to self and Christ is alive in me, that's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me because I am no longer alive. It's Christ that lives in me. So now I realize that he is actually coming to me looking for himself. That takes the pressure off. You mean I don't have to be all these things? I can just let him be in me and I die to myself? Oh, I'm getting this, Lord. This is easy. I understand. You're coming looking for you. You're coming looking for you. And I realize that the branches of scented wood is the purity of my devotion of the resurrected Christ. Watch this. It speaks of intercession. I love what Will said last week about God looking for somebody who'll say yes to the assignment on the earth. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever liveth to make intercession. It's that burden, it's that interceding, it's that prayer, it's that frankincense, that aroma that goes before him. It's a sweet-smelling savor. You know, I think that you can tell when the body of Christ begins to mature because they like praying. Yes. They want to pray. Yes. You don't have to give them chicken to make them pray. Yes. They just come. They're like, I want to pray. And you know what I've seen in some of our soaking services? People just show up. We don't even have a worship band up here. We play a CD. And people are still coming. You know why? Because they want to intercede. They want to pray. There's a hunger. There's a blossoming in the lives of people. When you have 400 people on a Wednesday night, 400 people that just come to listen to a CD, get in the presence of God and watch the Holy Ghost move, there's an intercession. There's a blossoming in the lives of God's people. And there's more. If there's more, I could probably fill up 6 or 7 buses to go to Akron on February 16th. There's conferences of hunger. There's things that God wants to do in this region. And let me tell you something. It's not going to be long before Amish pastors, Lutheran pastors, Anglican pastors, Catholic pastors, all these people, because they're wanting Jesus. You know, they got to a point now, they're saying, you know what, I don't want this religion anymore, and I don't need to have you impress you, and I don't need that. All I just want is him, and I have such a passion for him, and it's drawing them in behind the veil. And suddenly they're waking up, and there's Jesus, and they look over, and they go, oh, you're here too. Wow, wow, I didn't know you'd be here. Whoa, look at you. Oh, my gosh, I never thought you guys would be here. Amish with your old little funny hats and funny blue shirts. I mean, here they are. Get ready. This is a move of God in revival that's not going to look like anything we've seen in this generation. It's going to sweep through this region. It's going to sweep through this church. You know, we used to say, well, the alcoholics are coming, the drug addicts are coming, the homosexuals are coming. Yeah, okay, but let's go a little further. Church people are coming. I think it's harder to save church people than it is. Come on, it's harder to save church people than it is all them other folk, because them other folk already know they're sinners. Church people think they got it together, but they realize now they don't have it together, and they're hungering to be more like Jesus. Woo. Now listen to this. The trees had to be cut in order to produce the fragrance. So the bride has to be broken before the fragrance spills out. It's like that flower, you know, when you crush that flower, the aroma, the scent, is so much more intense. It's so much more concentrated because it's been crushed. It's been released. And God said, I just have to cut the branches. And I said, God, cut me. Cut me, God. I want to be grafted in to the vine. Now listen, if you have a branch, if you're a branch, if somebody could fix that door for us like during the week, that'd be great. It's broken, yeah. If you're a branch and I'm a branch and we're frankincense, a branch is cut. And if it's cut, you can't be grafted in until you're cut off. So if you want to be grafted into the vine, here come the knife. Whoosh! Ah! And now You're independent, and you know that if you're not grafted in, you're going to wither and die. And the Holy Ghost has taken us and He's planting us. He has a spot for you right here in His side where the Spirit opened Him up and He said, there is her planting. And the fragrance, the frankincense. Yeah, me too. I love it when I get help preaching. To produce this fragrance, we're going to have to be cut. Myrrh, 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 myrrh. This is number 8. Myrrh, like tears from a tree. Myrrh is like tears from a tree. It's a resin spice formed by cutting a tree. The branch is cut, but the tree had to be cut. And the tree that's cut speaks and reminds us of the cross. It is Jesus who has gone to the cross. Listen, folks, I know some of you have endured immense trials. I know, I know. It's horrible when anxiety hits you and you can't sleep and it takes your breath away because of the sorrow and the pain and the trouble that you're in. It doesn't matter how I describe it, but you know what I'm talking about, whether it's a death prematurely of a loved one or whether it's a legal issue that you're going to lose everything. It doesn't matter what it is. We go through these times of suffering. And I know it's not a popular topic to teach in the charismatic faith movement that there is suffering. Because we want to say, if you come to Jesus, there's no more suffering. Oh my gosh. Now I know why I have suffering, because I don't have faith. No, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. I have suffering because I don't have faith. Wait a minute, why did Jesus learn obedience through the things He endured? He endured, He held up under. Suffering is not to feel and be wounded and broken. Suffering is a Greek word. It means to endure or hold up under the weight of. Jesus learned obedience through carrying the weight of all of our sin. He learned obedience. And I'm not saying God's going to hurt you to teach you something. Please don't misinterpret me. But I am telling you this. Relief is on its way. God is not going to leave you where He found you. God is not going to allow the devil to tear you apart and to destroy your life. We learned obedience. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the things that I've suffered and gone through, I have learned immense teachings from. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to that classroom again. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned something. I did. I learned something. And I come out of that stronger. I come out of that more resolved. I come out of that knowing who my Creator is. I've come out of that persuaded that He is able. If God can deliver me out of that, I don't know what this is. But I want to tell you, where I've been, God is able to take you through. Yes, He can. Sickness prolonged, poverty, lack, rejection. It matters not what it is. But I'm going to tell you something. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn for good. Tap somebody and say, yes, He will. I've learned something. It's about denying myself. I deny myself. I could have come back there and slapped you for that. And nobody would have got mad at me. They say, you go, Pastor. Don't let nobody talk to you like that. I could have done that. I could have called you on the phone and rebuked you for what you did. You know what you did. You know you were talking behind my back. You were manipulating people under my nose. I know what you're doing. And I could have called you out on it. Don't get me going. I could have done it. I have people all the time say, Pastor, you know what so-and-so said? I said, no, I didn't know what they said, but now I do. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to say nothing. Because I don't put fly paper out. I refuse to come down to their level. Because I know that they know that I know, and they know that I'm not going to tell anything about what they did, because it puts more pressure on them for me to love them, even in spite of what they've done, than if I try to come and prove a point. I'm not trying to prove a point to anybody. I'm trying to point to the cross. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny myself the right to rebuke you. I'm going to deny myself the right to correct you. I'm going to deny myself the right to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't live on the terrestrial. I live on the celestial. Watch, watch, watch. Because in the celestial, there's no judgment. There's no unforgiveness. There's no bitterness or holding a grudge. I don't know about you, but in the terrestrial, that's all that stuff. But in the celestial, love never fails. Come on, church. Love never fails. So I don't need to come down to your level. When I do that, I look like you, smell like you, and got flies in my house like you do. And I'm not doing it. You hear me? I'm going to deny myself, and I choose Jesus over making things right or making myself look good in front of other people. I don't care. I don't need to look good. I don't need to look authoritative. I don't need to look like the pastor, like the bishop. I don't have to convince you that I am. I just walk in it. You understand? I don't have to force you into. I just love you through it, because love is greater. Mercy over judgment. Love is greater. Do you follow me? So that's the... Let me get to the last one. See, you started getting me preaching. I got to stop preaching. Get back to teaching. Okay, please turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 45 and verse 8. All your garments are scented with myrrh, alloys, and cassia. Alloys as eagles ascending. It's the healing balm of God. Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm seeing the blossoms of healing in your life. Oh, the atonement of Jesus not only saves us, but he heals us. If you're sick in your body here this morning, if cancer has come to you, if digestive problems have just tormented you, headaches, body aches, pains, growths, tumors, it's illegal. And it's wonderful to know that there are alloys of eagles soaring. There's blossoms of healing in the life of the body of Christ. That's why this is not a one man, lay hands, watch me, I'm anointed, I'm going to bring healing to you show. Because you all are blossoming. You all have the balm of healing in your spirit, in your belly. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not just one person. I resist that, man. I just resist that, because you know what? That is so not the Bible. You could be obscure. Nobody knows your name. You're not a leader in the church. You know, you don't have a reputation. You have a resume. But you have a passion for Jesus, and you're blossoming. And I need healing in my body. You praying for me. Because I can smell the healing balm in your life. I can identify it. A sick person knows when someone's got the goods. Mark chapter 5, a woman with the issue. She stunk. She had blood coming from her body for years. But she smelled alloys of healing. This scripture in Psalm 45, listen, this is just a great verse. It said, your garments, talking of God, your garments are scented with myrrh. Your garments are scented with the healing balm. When Jesus came to town, the woman went, I smell something different. I smell healing. I smell healing in this place. A couple of first soaking services we had. Joe, are you back there, Joe? Yeah, there you are. I think you said it. You said you smelled, you had this scent. There was a scent in this room. And a lot of people smelled it. Nadine, you guys smell. It was like, man, that's not perfume. That's a scent. That's a heavenly scent. It was a manifestation in the spirit of a healing balm. And it was Jesus. It was on his garments. Now that's what's interesting. His garments are soaked with it. And when this woman came to the crowd and everybody said, you can't, she said, I smell it and I'm not going to be denied. And she made herself through with her nose, with her the scent. She was drawn to Jesus. She was drawn to him. And when she got to him, all she had to do was touch the garment that was soaked in the alloy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, this is an exciting moment for the body of Christ. I mean, you got to start thinking differently. Not the traditional, come on up here if you need prayer, bop you on the head, anoint you with an oil like a greased pig at a State Farm insurance convention. No. Like a, not a State Farm. What do they call that? Like a State Fair. Did I say State Farm? State Fair. Greased pig like a State Fair. Anyway, you got to get out of your mind the traditional approach to healing. And even the body of Christ has grown through it. Look at this, is exponential growth. Their glory is being revealed. Even people saying, I see somebody here with a left eye blurred. God's healing it right now. Oh, that's me. Woo, that's me. Hallelujah, I've just been healed. That's great, and that'll happen. But there are more glory levels of healing that are coming to the body of Christ. They'll walk in, they go, oh my gosh, I've just been healed of this lung disease. I smelled this scent. All of a sudden, I had cancer. I walked into this church, and all of a sudden, I went back to my checkup, and they said, the tumors are gone. What did they do? Did they pray for you? Nope. Did they call it out? Nope. Did somebody grease you up? Nope. I just went to church and smelled something. I don't know what it was, but it was so powerful, and I feel like God wants to heal every person. I'm telling you, church, this is the most exciting time. This is the most exciting moment in the body of Christ. God is revealing healings, plural. Stop limiting the Holy Spirit. Now look, some of you came in here with heavy hearts. I know that. Some of you came in here with pain in your body. I know that. I'm not minimizing all those things. And as a pastor, my heart breaks. I said, God, I don't want people to come in and leave the same way. I want them to have a supernatural encounter with you. Father, let your scent of alloy come. Let your healing come. Father, those that have been penalized by darkness, those that have been in bondage, let them see the great light. Let the spikenard anointing, God, be released from the body of Christ. Let us begin to mature and blossom. Let the fruit come, Father. Let it be plenteous. Let it be available to the people of God, people coming from the north, south, east, and west. Oh, God, let it come. See, when you are blossoming alloys as eagles, soaring, it's as though you fly above your wounds. You fly above your past. You fly above your weakness in your body. You say, yeah, I feel it, but you know what? I'm not going to stop praising him. I know that Jesus is in the process right now, and I know that he's going to take me to where I need to go. We fly high above all of those things. Loving the King heals the heart. Loving the King heals the heart. I was with a man yesterday, or day before, I don't know who I was. And he was going through so much pain, so much agony. I said, I don't know what to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to pray. And I just lifted my hands, and I closed my eyes, and I said, okay, God, I'm not a singer, but I started singing, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, make this atmosphere and change it. Holy Spirit, I began to sing. I began to worship him. I went from one song to the other. And then I opened my eyes and his tears were coming down his face. And I said, God, I can't do it, but you can do it. I'm releasing what's blossoming in me. I can't even put words to what's blossoming in me, but I'm releasing what fruit is in me by the Spirit of God. It's not by might or power. The scripture is so powerful. As we began, you can go ahead and put my song on. Because as we began here earlier today, we said, may your awakening breath blow upon my life. Thanks, I'm getting snotty up here. Then may your awakening breath blow, turn it up, upon my life until I'm fully yours. breathe upon me with your spirit winds. And really what she's saying is, let the north wind blow. North wind is judgment. I'm not here to judge you. No way, man. But I'm going to tell you something. God is. And God says, I'm going to take care of that, Lou. Let's take care of it. And I said, yes, God, I want you to take care of it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take that and take it to the cross for you. That's how I'm going to judge it. I'm not going to punish you. I'm just going to take it from you as you yield it to me. And I'm going to take it to the cross. And there, he's going to carry it. And the south wind speaks of comfort. The south wind speaks restoration and healing. So I'm thinking, God, you know what? Blow over me, north wind. Let's worship for a second. Asking the Lord, Father, what is it that I need to yield to you? What is it that I need to give up? What is it I need to relinquish? Blow over me, north wind. Just blow over me. Take that thing from me as I give it to you and take it to the cross. Jesus right now.
I'll embrace the flame. Just let the winds blow, let the winds blow.
Come on, stand up on your feet,
let
church.
The winds blow, let the winds blow.
Open your mouth and
let
make it a prayer
blow,
as we sing it. Come on. But that's all right.
Like the Lord,
offer to every person standing here to close the gate and make your life a garden exclusive to Jesus. You say, Pastor, I hear the Spirit of God calling me, and I'm ready. Thank you for the digging again around my life. And I'm ready, Father, to become your private paradise. I'm ready to pursue you with great passion. And I'm hungry, God, for a visitation right now. I want you, Father, with everything in my life. Come on, church. I'm going to open up these altars. I want you to just move forward as the Holy Spirit leads you. And just allow Him to be exclusive access to your heart. God, I want to be your paradise garden, Father. I'm ready, Lord Jesus. I want my life to blossom the fruits of your life. I'm ready, God, more than ever. Father, I want to be part of this move in this region, that the aroma and the fragrance of your life will be, oh God, so poignant, so strong, that people will not be able to deny the very presence of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, pursue it. Would you do it? Come on, take a minute. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on, let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That's what I want, God. That's what I want. Thank you, Lord. That's what I want, Father. Thank you, Lord. That's what I want, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can just keep it playing, but just turn it down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We're just wanting it, Father. We want it more than ever, God. We're hungry for it, Father. Lord Jesus, we say that you are our King. Turn it up a little bit so we can hear it. Lord God, we say you are our King, Father. We say, God, that you are exclusive rights to our paradise life, our garden, Father. We promise to tend and keep it even as Adam did, Father. We will cultivate it and protect it. We don't give out the keys to anybody. We don't give out the passwords to anyone. Father, this is your exclusive garden. Come, 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 Father. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, into our life. And right now, just passionately pursue us as we passionately pursue you, Father God. Thank you. Holy Spirit Gardener, would you dig again around our life and cause us, Lord, to be transformed? Lord, one life at a time, God, one life at a time, one life at a time. If you're making a commitment to revival in this region, God put in my heart, He said, ask for people who would be willing to commit to church on the North Coast. Now hear me, not me. You're willing to commit to church on the North Coast to bring and usher in a revival. And you will not faint until revival hits full force in this region. Then I want you to come and join us around the altar. I'm looking for people who are saying, Pastor, I'm going to commit fully to bringing a revival to this region. I'm going to commit fully to the transformed heart in my life, in my home, in my marriage, in my children, in my church, and I will not falter. I will not faint. I am here for the long run. Come, Holy Spirit, whatever it takes, God, whatever is required, I'm ready, God, and we are going to passionately pursue you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn it up a little bit more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, let your winds blow over us, God. Let your winds blow over us, God. Let your winds blow over us, God. Let the scent, let your aroma be so strong in this place. Father, in the streets, in the marketplace. God, in our workplace, in our streets of our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, God. Thank you, Lord. Let it blow, God. Let it blow, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, let it blow, let it blow, let it blow, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring healing to a sick generation. Bring deliverance, God, to those that are bound, Father. Thank you, Lord. We want it so much, God. We desire you so much, Father. We desire you, Lord. We hunger for you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Have your way, Father. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Father, we're not intimidated. We're not afraid, God. We're ready to let go. We're ready to let go. Maybe you've been a person that's always tried to control things, and you're ready to let go and trust God more than ever before. Come on, respond to Him right now. Say, God, I'm not going to control it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to trust You with everything, Father, from this day forward. Let Your wind blow, God, over my life. Let Your wind blow, God. Thank You, over my ministry. Come on, blow over our ministry. Some of us are wondering why things haven't flourished. And we sit in our middle of our pain and we think, why? Come on, the alloy of the eagle, fly above that thing and say, you know what? God is in control. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray this morning, God, there need be sick among us, Lord. We thank You that the anointing oil that's coming from Your hand is healing. And You are delivering, God, and You are bringing fresh, new revelation to them. Thank You, Lord, that wholeness is here. Thank You, God, that completeness is here. Thank You, God, that nothing missing, nothing broken is here. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Father. 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 We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pursue You, God. We pursue You, God. We pursue You, God. We pursue You, God. We're hungry, God. We're hungry for You, Lord. Yeah, thank You, Lord. Say to some of you today, those little circles exploding on the map were significant for you. Because I believe out of this place, there are going to be those that are going to be sent from this place with this powerful anointing of God that are going to go to the far-flung regions of the earth. And you're going to bring the same awakening to those regions like from Azusa Street with one man beginning to say, you know what, we're going to pray. 16 people began to cry out. And Lord did some amazing things. It was a global reformation. I believe it today. You are being used by God. And let me tell you something. Some of you are going to be sent to places that you never dreamed that you'd ever go. But you're not going there with any other business but the King's business. And so I just release that now into your spirit. And I say, Father, raise up end time revivalist to take this message, God, to the four corners of the earth. Thank You, Lord God, that You are going to use in spectacular, amazing ways people that are standing here right this very moment. We know them the way we've known them, but we don't know them yet the way You know them. So, God, we release them into their destiny and their purpose to do amazing things in this last times, God. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Let this fresh anointing come upon them, God. Thank You, Lord. They're an exploding blue circle. You're an exploding blue circle on the earth. Thank You, God. Touch, Father, the regions. Touch, oh God, the nations. Thank You, Lord. Father, we declare that this Cleveland area is a cancer-free zone. We thank You that it is a crime-free zone. We thank You, God, that it is no longer tormented with poverty and lack. It is a lack free zone in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, that literal physical transformation is going to happen. As we are transformed, this region will be transformed. Father, we take down our flypaper. We put out our nectar. And we fully expect the beauty of Your creation, the multifaceted, the amazements of the hummingbird to come, God. That they are attracted, Your thoughts are attracted to our heavenly thoughts. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fabulous. Would you come up here with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come here, Fabulous. Thank you, Lord. 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 You don't need that mic. Give me the mic. But I just want to pray for you. It is a generation. Adam, are you still here? Are you here around somewhere? I don't know if Adam's here. Pastor Adam. I don't know. He's here. Come here. Anybody with the youth team? Anybody with the youth team? Wake, oh, north wind. Come on up here. Come on up here. I want you guys to pray. Come on. Anybody with the youth team? Come on. He represents a generation. I loved his attitude. He said, Pastor Adam, I'm on my way. I'm coming.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Go ahead. Let's pray for him. As however the Lord ministers right now, Father, thank you. Reach a hand out to Fabulous.
As I just praying for you. Woo. Silently, I just see the words high expectations. High expectations. But I just see that these expectations are not going to be that high that you cannot obtain or reach.
Yeah.
Lord, allow this generation just to be set free.
Yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Set them free.
Royalty can set royalty free.
Royalty set royalty free.
Yeah. So set this generation free, Jesus. Set them free.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
See, there was an old school rapper that would always spell out his name in his songs. And he'd always make himself known in his own music. But I sense that every time that you speak out, you won't ever have to announce your name. Because you're not up there to announce yourself. You're announcing who Jesus is. You're announcing who your Father is. And through your testimony, God spells out his name through you. Not with letters, but with words, with passion, with signs, with wonders, with evidence that people can see. So you'll never have to announce your name, because your name announces who you are, but God announces himself through you. So let him speak through you. Let him operate through you. Don't hold him back.
Yeah.
And don't think that you will have to glorify yourself, because it's not going to be in the glorifying of yourself. It's going to be in the glorifying of God that he lifts you up. So let him lift you up. Let him hold you, and let him pronounce you fabulous.
We say, Father, let this be awakened in his spirit even now, God. Awaken him, God. Awaken him, Lord Jesus, for such a time, God. Hallelujah. His generation. Father, even as you're attracted to your life in him, so will others be attracted to your life through him. They're coming. Many, many, many will come from your generation because of the attraction of the Jesus in you, just like was spoken, the fabulous through you, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just put your hand on somebody right now. Pray for them. But go ahead and continue to ministering to him. Holly, do you have a song? God putting something in you? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Just release a fresh anointing, a blossoming. I want you to declare a blossoming.